Starting to see everybody pop in. Good morning. I would like to call this meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is April 29th, 2025. The time is 9:05 a.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantially review the psychologist applications listed for the agenda today. Kathy, would you please call roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Flint?
Present.
Dr. Medina?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you all for your consideration and grace as we skip around things a little bit today and make sure that we're getting to everything that was left over from yesterday's shorter meeting. We do apologize for that and absolutely find your applications extremely important, hence why we're here today. So the first thing that I would like to do, Dr. Medina, if you are in agreement, is I would like to go to E1, being that the applicant and attorney are both present. And then my plan is to go back and go in order of the agenda, if you are agreeable to that plan, ma'am.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Perfect. Okay. Item E1 is psychologist Dr. Jerry Gentry, who graduated from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in 2017. She was previously licensed in Arizona from 8/21/20 to 7/29/22 when she voluntarily surrendered her license due to several instances of unprofessional conduct, which are outlined in the public-facing documents and findings of fact from that case. In this application, she did answer yes to several of the declaration questions, which is consistent with the actions before. We did have an extensive list of answers provided by applicant's counsel to some questions, which we will have, I'm sure, additional follow-up to do. To begin this case, I would actually like to ask that we go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice. Dr. Medina, do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Perfect. Everyone, hold on. We will be back with you in just a few moments.
Ms. Michelson, you're not in the menu for me to send you into the room. So I don't know how to put you into the breakout room.
It's not letting me join, Nina. Are you able to join?
I am not able. You're not among the...
Just talking away to myself. I apologize. We're back in open session. Dr. Gentry and your representation, Mr. Carey, thank you for both being here. Is there any statements or anything that you guys would like to make prior to us asking a few questions about the application at hand?
First, Chair and Dr. Medina, we would just note if you do have questions about any of the more what we consider to be confidential information, we would just ask for executive session on any of those items for the purpose of receiving confidential info. Overall, though, I would note that the applicant here made a thoughtful decision to step aside from the practice for a period of time. And she used that time extremely effectively. I think you see from the materials that were provided, she gained a very significant awareness as to why her prior employment situation may not have been for her and some of the challenges that accompanied it, and the reasons in which she needed to do some work on herself in order to return to the practice. I think the evaluation for fitness was extremely probative in a few ways, in that it first explained that she can, it gave a sort of the genesis of how the issues occurred in the first place, but it also provided, a very reasonable roadmap for Dr. Gentry's return into practice. And so this is one of those cases, you know, often we're in these situations where we get, you know, questions answered affirmatively that raise questions without really, I think, satisfying answers. And I think this, we have the luxury on this case, which is nice, that a lot of the work that the board would typically want to see before it even got to the substantive stage of the application has been done. And the evaluation that was done is one that I think provides very common sense, straightforward ways to allow this practitioner to transition back into practice with some guardrails. And so I think substantively, there's a lot for the board to work with. And I think the packet that you received is substantial such that either ARC or the board proper can craft a resolution that would allow her to grant licensure and perhaps put some appropriate guardrails in place for a period of time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that comment. Dr. Gentry, did you have anything you wanted to add, or can we just launch into the questions?
Go ahead and launch into them. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, the answers that were provided through counsel and with many quotes from you, I appreciate the thoroughness of. I have a question about your answer in number one and your taking the professional boundary course that was appears to be for physicians. You know that our ethics code demands some different things. And I'm wondering about how you feel that course gave you information that you needed for your psychology code of ethics when it was meant as a CME training for, it looks like, for physicians. Yes, Ms. Galvin.
If I may, and I apologize for interrupting. I believe that, is there not a question about whether her application is administratively complete?
Oh, before we ask,
yeah, because of the reference. If the committee determines it's not administratively complete, I would not want to waste anyone's time if we can't consider the application today. So I urge you maybe to explore that concern.
Sure. I will back up to that concern. Okay. So on one of your references that were submitted from a Dr. Glaze, you used her as a reference prior in your first application, and then we're seeing her pop up again. You haven't worked with her, correct, in the last over 6-ish years?
Correct.
When did your relationship begin and end with Dr. Glaze that she would be assessing your quality of work during?
Our relationship began in 2013.
Uh-huh.
And when I moved, I guess, in 2019 and was no longer working at Sharper Future, that's when our professional relationship ended, and we stayed in contact throughout from 2019 until now.
Okay. And was she aware of some of the challenges at Sharper Future? Is that the name of the company? I apologize.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any reason why she would answer differently about the dates and the relationship from the first application to the new application?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know what dates she put for either.
Okay. And do you, she was not licensed when she signed the first reference, which means she couldn't speak to your psychological soundness in the profession if she hadn't attained licensure herself. So I will admit that was something that should have been caught the first time, but since she's now been licensed since your relationship ended, how is she giving an assessment of that now if your professional relationship ended?
That's a hard one. I guess I didn't realize that she was not fully licensed the first time. I would say, I mean, we did our internship together for those 3 years. And so that's what she's speaking on.
So she was an intern when you were an intern?
Correct.
So then you knew she was unlicensed because you can't be an intern and be licensed.
Right. So that was prior to, so we were an intern, like a pre-doc intern, post-doc, and then we did our psych assistant. So during that time is when she was reportedly had taken the ECCC and was becoming licensed. So it wasn't during our internship week. I believed her to be licensed.
Okay. So at this point, Dr. Medina, do you have any questions before I kind of conclude where I feel like we're at in this moment?
I don't have any questions. I do have concerns, and I think you're getting to that with that reference that it the dates fall outside of, you know, what is permissible for that form.
Yeah. So if your relationship, professional relationship, ended with her in 2019, that is 6-ish years ago. And Kathy, can you can you just give me the statute that talks about the 3 years, just so we can understand the wording and see where we go with this one? You're on mute if you're talking. I can't tell.
Sorry, I was talking. It's in the rules under R4-26-203, subsection B6B. It says that the reference must be familiar with the applicant's work experience in the field of psychology or in a postdoctoral program within the 3 years immediately before the date of application. If more than 3 years have elapsed since the applicant last engaged in professional activities in the field of psychology or in a postdoctoral program, the references may pertain to the most recent 3-year period in which the applicant engaged in professional activities in the field of psychology or in a postdoctoral program. I want to go back to subsection A. I didn't read that. The reference must be a psychologist, must be psychologists licensed or certified to practice psychology in United States or Canadian regulatory jurisdiction and who are not members of the board.
Okay. So I think being that she wasn't licensed, we're in a pretty clear spot of this reference can't be used right now. Can't be used at all. I shouldn't even say right now. Can't be used at all. So we need to get that in order to ensure that your application is in fact administratively complete before we can even move on and ask the other questions and kind of assess your readiness to return to practice. Do you have an idea of another psychologist familiar with your practice that would be able to give a reference for you?
Unfortunately, everywhere that I've worked has been kind of a mixture of different mental health professionals, and working with psychologists, there just really hasn't been any. As far as from my understanding, at least, correct me if I'm wrong, but so she's licensed now, and I just needed to provide an explanation as to like that time period, because it was more than the 3 years.
No, I think Jean was ready to, she'll be more
okay
eloquent to this.
And you can speak to your attorney about this, but Blaze is licensed today. But she is giving a reference about you and the services that you provide at a time she was not licensed. She was not a psychologist, so she doesn't fit under rules. She could not opine on the quality of the services you were providing because she was not a psychologist. She was a counterpart, an equal, an intern as you. Even though she's licensed today, what she is verifying occurred prior to her licensure.
Okay.
And we can take it up with board staff offline. I think one of the concerns is, you know, is that just the number of people that Dr. Gentry did have contact with and being able to identify a reference that meets the criteria. So she's in sort of a odd situation by a product of timing. And that's where that's where our concern is. And so I can definitely visit with staff offline and see if we can find a way to work through it. But that was why, in fact, you know, Glaze was offered up, is because it appeared at least facially to meet the requirements. And so we can definitely chat offline with either Kathy or Jeannie about what our next move would be on that. So certainly if that's where ARC is coming down, if you could pend the application, it would give us some time to revisit that with board staff.
Okay.
Excellent. And I would like to be part of that discussion, Heidi.
Perfect. So we will table item E1. Do we need a motion to do that, Ms. Galvin?
No.
Okay. So we will table E1 pending getting the application administratively complete, and then we can go down the path of answering the other questions at that time.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We are going to go back up to Section B, which are those applicants requesting approval to sit for the ETRPN licensure. Let me just get scrolled up there. Sorry, I've got two screens going. Dr. Medina, would you like to take Dr. Galvin?
Certainly, Madam Chair. So Dr. Galvin, this is a new application. Dr. Galvin took the ETPP three times in the past, was unable to obtain a passing score. She submitted a new application and she submitted a study plan for her next attempt. Dr. Galvin received her doctoral degree from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in September 2021, completed an internship, 2,000 hours at the University of Arkansas, which was APA accredited, and then a postdoc at Florida Atlantic University. References were submitted, fingerprint clearance card, the receipt was submitted, and the self-query was submitted. So I think it looks in order. This obviously was approved the first time that it was with the previous applications. I did have a note here that the postdoc form that was submitted, 1,858 hours were submitted, but only 680 hours of direct contact, which does not meet the 40% requirement. However, I was unsure if the first time around that had been addressed, as she only needs 1,000 hours since the internship was a 2,000-hour internship.
Kathy, do you recall any information on that piece?
Yes, Madam Chair, committee members. The number of direct hours minimum would have been 743.2 for the amount. If you take the substantive policy statement that the board issued a number of years ago about direct hours, you can't, from 1500.
Yeah.
Since the board can only give credit for 1500 hours, there are enough direct hours for that.
And so, yeah, there are. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was just, I didn't know if a new form was needed, but I don't see any issues with the application. I think the study plan, looks reasonable. And so that concludes my summary on this case.
I just had a point of clarification and then a question about the study plan. And I see that Ms. Galvin is here, or Dr. Galvin, I apologize. In the written documentation filled out by the applicant, it said the degree was in interdisciplinary psychology, which didn't know what that meant. But on the transcript is actually a degree in clinical psychology. So I did want to clarify that from the application. And the study plan to me appears more like a study timeline and not a plan. So Ms. Galvin, I wanted to ask you if you're able to unmute and perhaps even join us with camera. How does this plan, how is it different from the first two times? Which likely you also had a similar timeline. What are you doing differently to help you pass this time?
So what I'm doing differently is within PrepJet, which is what I'm using the program, I didn't realize that they also had like a Facebook group and then additional courses that you can take. Okay. So I've already attended those additional courses and then I've been studying the information more thoroughly. I've also been, I think where I struggled previously was kind of solidifying my plan. And so more so now, it looked like it froze for a second. More so now, I've been able to kind of dive in depth and then I've been making flashcards. I've been they like recommend making a brain chart. So I've made the brain chart. I've created an office space in my house and I have all of my things all aligned. And I've just been kind of consistently following that, going back and reviewing and being able to ensure that I'm retaining as much information as possible. Whereas beforehand, I think I kind of just did an overview, went through the quizzes, went through the test, saw that I was at the score I needed to be at. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'm fine. My score has increased every single time. So it's not going down, which is good. So just kind of sticking with it and kind of trying to calm my nerves and solidify as much of that information as I can.
Okay, excellent. That is exactly what I was looking for. And I hope that you will not need to do another plan because you're going to be successful on this journey. But those are very important pieces, which in my mind makes it a true study plan versus just a timeline. So I appreciate you being here to be able to clarify that. Dr. Medina, any other questions on this applicant?
I do not.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I do not.
Thank you. Sorry. I think I have a little bit of a delay. I apologize for that. So with that clarification of hours, I don't see any other concerns, and I wish you very, very, very good luck on this attempt, that it will be your last, and we will see you as a licensed psychologist very soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Item B2 is Dr. Marina Swanson, who obtained her PhD, PsyD in doctoral. Let me just start that over. Oh my gosh. Dr. Swanson, you obtained your doctoral degree in clinical psychology from APA-accredited John F. Kennedy University. You noted it to be on your application where you inputted as 12/15/15. However, the date on the transcript is actually not until 3/28/16 of the actual conferral of the degree. You have an internship at the Neuropsychological Associates of California, which was neither APIC or APA, from 2014 to 16. So it spanned 2 years. Looks like it had to be more of a part-time to do it over the 2 years. There are some concerns on this. You don't have the document, so it doesn't matter. Dr. Medina, for your reference, page 16 of 46, it says that there were not two staff psychologists, which is a requirement. Mm-hmm. On the California Verification of Experience form, it says that you were actually working between 12/11/14 and 12/21/15 at 44 hours a week, which isn't part-time, and it's over the 40 hours that we can allow. The training plan submitted says that it was from 12/11/15 to 12/11/16, which means you didn't have a training plan for the first year of your internship according to those dates. And also, if you didn't end your internship until 12/11/16, but graduated in 3/28/16, I'm wondering how you were still on internship after you graduated.
All right.
I have some of those concerns.
I was hearing yes from both of you at the same time. So let's stop there and just talk about internship, because there are also questions on postdoc. Dr. Swanson, do you have any information on those three items?
Just a second. The first one, the 40 hours that I was overworking, I was also working as a part-time lead clinician for the same organization.
That's so you had a job at the same time you had an internship.
Correct. But I was supervising both. So
you're counting hours that you worked as at your job designation?
They were separate. I don't want to count those that were my job. But they were supervised.
So how did the people you were working with know when you were working as a lead psych person versus as a psychology intern, if you were doing the same job?
Absolutely. Good question. It's not the same job. Absolutely different job. As a lead clinician, I was taking care of four shelters. I was overseeing other clinicians who were in practicum, right, institute students. And separately, I was doing my pre-intern as a psychologist. Those two pieces, they were different. I wasn't as a psychologist when I was a lead clinician, but I was overseeing the practicum students.
Okay. Were there two staff psychologists during the hours that you worked as an intern?
Yes, absolutely.
So we're going to have that form amended by your verifier because... Oh, go ahead, Dr. Medina.
I'm sorry, Dr. Flint. There was an explanation given by the person giving the attestation as far as why that was a no, that they were not, there were more psychologists on staff. They were not just their supervisor.
Of course.
So on staff, I think that was the explanation that was given. It was marked as a no because Kathy inquired about that, and it was, there were, that's the explanation that came back. There were more psychologists on staff.
Jean, this might be a question for you that I have. Is the intent behind that question to affirm that there is a diversity in supervisory experiences, not just that there happens to be another psychologist employed that has no contact perhaps with the applicant?
Madam Chair, unfortunately, Jean did have to leave the meeting.
Can you speak to that?
Pardon?
Can you speak to that question?
I pulled up 2071. That's where this question comes from, if that's please. Okay, Heidi?
Yes.
Yes, please. Yes. Let's rather than the rule, let's look at the statute.
Yeah, 2071, subsection F. 2 says the training program provides at least two psychologists on staff as supervisors, at least one of whom is licensed or certified to practice psychology at the independent level by a licensing blah, 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 in which the program exists, and at least one of whom is directly available to the trainee in case of emergency.
Mm-hmm. So really the intent, if there is any to be found in that language, I think it's the in case of emergency piece. Otherwise, I think it would have to be, I mean, we could speculate on the intent, but if it's not articulated, that's a more challenging to do.
Okay, so I will mark that off as a continued question then. The discrepancies in the dates, I think we do need to clarify with a resubmission, and we need a training plan that covers the entire time you are on internship, not only the second half of the year.
Okay. I do apologize. We're talking about the postdoc or pre-doc?
We're still talking about internship.
Internship, so, got
pre-doctoral
it.
Internship. Mm-hmm. And then also clarification about how you were still on internship after your degree conferral date. The conferral date on your transcript was 3/28/16. The date that your internship ended is 12/11/16, mm-hmm. 9 months later. So you graduated and stayed on internship 9 months.
They offered me to stay with them. I still was holding the psych assistant license.
Okay, but you're on your form, you're saying you were an official intern from 2014 until 2016 in December.
Correct.
You can't be an intern after you've graduated. Dr. Medina, can you?
I think I can shed some light. I believe that school doesn't require an internship to graduate. In California, you don't need to accrue you don't need to accrue a percentage of the 3,000 hours prior to graduation. You can graduate and accrue all of them after graduation. And so that is what's happening here. The internship, it was started before she graduated, and so continued on after graduation because they were completely separate things. In California, you don't need that. That's why in the state of Arizona, it has to be prior to graduation. And so
doesn't APA require it though?
It's not an APA accredited program. I don't think it's an APA accredited program. Is it an APA accredited program? Oh yeah, it does. Say APA.
So then internship has to be done before graduation to be APA accredited, correct?
Well,
I could be completely wrong.
I think that is a good point. That is a good point. I do. It is my understanding that a 1500-hour internship is required to graduate. There were some discrepancies in that, and I noted them here. So when she graduates, and she's saying that this spanned over 2 years, so it was 20 hours a week, right? From the time she started to the time she graduates. She graduated, if you count 20 hours a week, which is what was reported on the form, that's 1,340 hours. So it still not doesn't meet the 1500 hour requirement. Then it continues on after graduation. Then there was another form submitted by the school, and let me find the page. So in the supervised psychology internship verification, that is in page two, page 16, I'm sorry, Dr. Flint. That one says that she worked 20 hours per week for 104 weeks, but we have to cut it out after graduation. So it doesn't meet a requirement of 1500 hours of a minimum of 1500 hours of internship. So that alone makes the internship not meet our
Criterion.
criteria. Then you have on page 20, you have a letter, internship completion memo, which I had never seen, but this is to confirm that the above named student has completed 1500 hours and fulfilled all internship contract requirements. It's dated January 8th, 2016, but I don't see how that could happen, doing 20 hours a week from the dates that it were in the verification form. So that is also outside of form. And then when you look with the California, and this is part of the issue with California, they don't require their hours prior to graduation, and that's why the issues come
Interesting.
up and interjurisdictional issues happen. You have here saying for California, they mark that the internship started on December 11th and 2014, that it was completed in 12/21, 2015, that there were 44 hours per week worked, 4 of those hours being supervision, and they attributed 1,594 hours. So you have three pieces of documentation that have conflicting information. If we go by the verification form that we receive with signature from the attester, it doesn't meet criteria because you cannot accrue 1,500 hours from when it was started to when the graduation date is. I'm not even counting the January date from the letter. So you have different documents saying different things in the application.
So on that, I think the best way to move forward, Dr. Medina, on is to request a new verification because all three of the forms don't match. Look at all your forms, look at all your dates, and look what actually happened in your records,
And
to see
love,
if it can meet criterion. Yes, Dr. Medina.
we need to see logs of week per week to see what and notes and supervision to see what was actually being accrued on a week by week basis for this internship.
And be really clear that you're only giving us hours that were in your internship, not hours that you were working, because that very much muddies the waters. Okay.
Okay.
Now there's postdoc verification also submitted from the same agency, starting before you say your internship ended, which is another problem. It states it started on 3/28/16. Which is consistent with your transcript graduation date, but not consistent with your internship continuing until December. And that ended on February 8th of 18, claiming 1500 hours. So my question there is, how did your postdoc start prior to internship ending. And then the SPE activities that were submitted on the postdoc form are dated 12/11/15 to 12/30/16, which again are not the same dates as on the verification form. And this is the same SPE activity sheet verbatim, literally exactly for internship and postdoc. And the whole point of continuing our education is that the what you're learning in postdoc should be the next level from internship. And this is exactly the same document. So if you can provide clarification and accurate documentation for your postdoc hours as well. Dr. Medina, did you have any other things or disagree with any of that on the postdoc verification?
Nope, I think you got it all.
Okay. Do you have any questions about those? It'll come in writing from staff as well, Dr. Swanson, but just since you're here, do you have any questions about what's...
No, thank you so much. It was very, it was very clear.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for being here. I appreciate that. All right, so we're going to do a fair with the referenced issues. Kathy, do you need any clarification or were you able to grab that as we ran through it?
I was able to grab it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. Villarreal is here. Hello. Thank you for being here. This is a FAIR respondent at this meeting. The FAIR letter dated April 1, 2024 was responded to March 29, 2025, which was literally like 2 days before it would have become administratively closed. So we had to go back digging in our old files and old notes. You graduated from California Southern University with a degree in clinical psychology noted by the applicant to be on 8/6/21. The transcript actually gives you that credit much earlier back in May 10th of 2021 as your actual graduation date. A new self query was received. However, the two references that you used last year are now out of date. Kathy, with all the add-ins, I did not see that we received those updated references. Is that correct?
Hang on. I admit I did not check. I completely forgot about that one.
Okay.
Let me do a quick look at the email and see if they came in.
Sure. While you're looking, I want to acknowledge that you did fix the concerns on the California Southern transcript. I didn't have any questions on that section. Dr. Medina, did you have any concerns on the first FAIR issue?
No. It looks like it meets what was requested. The first issue, yes.
Okay. Then the second issue was the core program requirements that the semester dates didn't match the transcript. Now they matched up. Dr. Medina, do you agree? So one and two are done. Internship written statement. The written training plan was one page generic, needed goals and expectations, all that kind of good stuff. The written training plan also appears to kind of be devised by you just in a silo without working with the training team by the way that it was signed. I was going to ask, potentially this is a question for Heidi, while we know we can go back and do a post-experience written training plan now with the substantive policy statement, I think that's what allows us to do that. Is it expected that that's actually still done with the supervisors or can that be independently done by the licensee applicant in a silo, just creating the document after? You're on mute, ma'am. Sorry.
Kathy, do you recall if we have seen this before?
Madam Chair, committee members, Heidi, my understanding is that it does require the supervisor's signature as well. We'd have to look at the substantive policy statement to be absolutely sure, but that's my memory usually serves on the statutes and rules.
Mm-hmm.
Feel confident, but I'm opening the list of substantive policy statements. There's the one for the written training plan for the postdocs and one for the pre-internship. I don't see that we ever had one for the internship. Is this an internship that we're talking about?
This is a doctoral internship.
Yes. Postdoctoral?
Pre.
Okay. All right. Oh, pre.
Just plain internship.
Okay. Pre-doctoral internship. Okay, so the internship. Because it's supposed to be a written statement, it's not a written training plan, the way the statute is written. It can be a handbook. It can be a manual. It can, as long as it has the areas of consideration that are in this, in the rule, it doesn't have to be signed. It is for the internship. It does not need a signature.
Okay.
Does
Dr.
it? I do have a question. Sorry. Can this be crafted by the applicant then, or should it be from the institution?
It's specifically supposed to be from the institution.
Yeah, that's what
Let me grab, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around on my screens here. Let me go back to that statute. This particular one, I believe, is in the statute about the written statement. Mm-hmm. Again, under subsection F, and let me get to it. It's number 9. The applicant provides from the training organization a written statement that describes the goals and content of the training program and documents that clear expectations existed for the breadth, depth, and quality and quantity of a trainee's work at the time of the supervised professional experience. So it does need to come from the institution. Historically, the committee has accepted internship manuals, internship handbooks. As long as it meets that criteria, it served.
Okay. Dr. Villarreal, yes.
So I did go, but I spent 6 months on this. They never created one, unfortunately. And so I went to KPIC. I talked to the chair of their board. They pulled what they don't have anything online, and they are going to be closing up, I think, after this year. They did pull boxes of things to look for me. This was not a requirement for them to begin a relationship with another institution for pre-doctoral internships. I spoke to their chair. I spoke to both of my previous supervisors, and what they had developed was that kind of job description or job duties. That's at the end. I think I put it at the end of the PDF. That is all they had. There was never like a written training statement. So what I did is I just took, and instead of asking them, it would be unethical to, well, I thought it was unethical to ask them to create one at this point. I took what was stated at the University of Laverne, who was over my pre-doctoral internship when I was there, because they didn't grant me the degree. This is the competencies that are listed for, and then I double check them with the time frame because they do change often. And then just the subject section is what I remember that I, you know, created. I didn't create the competencies themselves. I have sent this entire PDF to my supervisor, Matt Calkins, who is licensed psychologist, for his review. He just hasn't gotten back to me yet. So I'm asking him for some sort of agreement to this, or whatever it might be, or an additional letter as well. They don't have an original. They never created one originally, which makes it very difficult.
It does. It does. Also, there's a couple of hours issues still. You said on your pre-internship verification, and we've got like 1 minute left. I'm watching the time, Jennifer. 667.25, but the letter from your school says it was 642.25. And then the children's hospital says 695.5, but the letter from your school again says a different number, 675.5. So kind of another example of how if things don't match up, we've got to go back and question them, because it needs to be correct. So if you can look at both of those verification forms and clarify. So we're going to do a fair letter, a second fair to clarify the hours, and that we still need to work on this internship. You know, what was the goals and expectations? I will leave it to staff to work with you on creative ways that we might be able to meet this requirement, but it is literally a requirement to be licensed in Arizona. So there's only so much that can be done. If it doesn't exist and nobody can attest to it, then we're kind of stuck in the water here, unless I'm missing anything. Ms. Michelson?
I would defer to Kathy on that. I just want to clarify real quick. I apologize for interrupting. Do one of the committee members need to leave at 10 o'clock, or are both of you okay to keep going? I forget.
I can continue.
I can continue for another half hour till my next meeting.
Well, we can keep going until you need to leave then. But Kathy, do you have anything to add regarding that question on Dr. Villarreal's application?
Committee members, Dr. Villarreal, I was wondering, your doctoral program was an APA accredited program?
KPIC.
Oh, KPIC. Okay, yeah. That's
why. So in my PDF, I even include the KPIC, you know, whatever is left on their website for right now. You have to try to pull it off because it's not going to be, they're not going to, you know.
If it's acceptable to the committee members, the thing that comes to my mind, you said you crafted the document from documents that KPIC had. Is it possible to get copies of the documents KPIC had instead?
No, KPIC doesn't have any documentation. Mine is just made from the competencies that were expected at the University of Laverne, who oversaw my pre-doctoral internship. So that's the closest I can get to when I was in that internship, other than them having crafted one, which they have told me they haven't. They only have that duties and description that they have at the end of my PDF.
Does KPIC accredit doctoral programs or just master's programs? I thought they only accredited master's programs.
Doctoral as well.
Oh,
they have internships. It's kind of like APIC for California. So they provide internships for doctoral programs.
Thank you.
In California. I was wondering, and I'm sorry, I'm from my phone. My computer is acting up. So I don't have the feature to raise my hand. So I know we have the description of specific duties of the trainee, and that's on page 82. It is a single page. It was insufficient. So could what is on page 82 and then plus what Dr. Villarreal submitted from KPIC, I'm thinking we could combine those two. Dr. Villarreal, is it doesn't talk about the breadth and depth of the training. This is talking more about some of the logistics and, you know, when you start, when you end, and supervision, right? All those things, which are important in a training plan, but not the only thing. So could we take the KPIC that is on page 15, the other document on page 82, I think I said, if, I don't know if Dr. Villarreal could get her previous supervisor's signature on the document that Dr. Villarreal created to attest that those were competencies worked on, would combining those three fulfill this requirement? If I know the signature is not required, but in lieu of there are no more things, KPIC is disappearing, you know, could we then take those three if the signature of the previous supervisor then, you know, is included there? I think it would meet all the boxes we need from three different documents, not one clean document, but yeah. And then also the clarification on hours that you identified, Dr. Flint, I think that is appropriate.
Yeah.
That was just found recently then, right? Because I had no idea about the hours. So I'll have to go, I'll pull everything out again.
Yeah, just looking at the forms, I know you don't have it in the same order that we do in our packet, but basically a letter from the school that was dated 3/16/23 has different hours than are on the internship verification form. the letter came from, let's see, page 66 in my packet. Let me see if I can find to tell you who wrote that letter.
Committee chair, committee members, Dr. Villarreal, with the FAIR letter, I can send her a copy of the internship verifications and the documents that have the questionable, the discrepancy in the hours.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So we've got just one more step to get done. I think Dr. Mindy, that's a creative way to get this done. We recognize the interesting spot that you are put in with all of these forces kind of coming together at the same time. So as long as there's no questions, Kathy, on the FAIR letter requirements, we will move forward to the next one.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Dr. Villarreal.
Thank you.
All right. The next one, Dr. Arar, are you present? Doesn't look like it. Dr. Medina, would you take that one?
Yes. Dr. Arar, this is a reapplication. Dr. Arar took the ACCP twice in the past, most recently in February 2025, but was unable to obtain a passing score. And so Dr. Arar is applying to retake the test. Dr. Arar received his doctoral degree from the University of Southern California in December of 1995. The references were submitted, fingerprint clearance submitted the receipt, and the self-query was submitted as well. I did not identify any concerns with this application.
I agree with you, madam. The next one, B5, is Dr. Haley Laporte or Laporte. How am I saying it correctly?
It's Laporte.
Laporte. Okay. Thank you so much for being here. You received your doctoral degree from APA accredited Northern Arizona University on October 18th, 2024. Declaration and attestation questions were completed. Two references, self-query and fingerprint card, are in the file. This is a response to a FAIR letter. For a revised internship verification form. Just reading quickly through our notes. The verification of hours were updated by, I believe it was Dr. Odell. The way it was written, though, I just want to make sure... we requested for the hours to kind of make sense based on the dates, not that somebody just resigns and says that's what happened. If that's not what happened, then that form shouldn't have been filled out that way. I just want to clarify. You understood that it was the 1920 hours because that's the only thing that makes sense with the number of hours worked, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And I sent her the... wonky. Okay, I sent her the FAIR letter when I was requesting it too. So I say, I'm not exactly sure what she filled out or how she did it, but I did. I sent her all of it and tried to explain it the best I could to her.
Okay, so we're going to assume that as she was the signer, that she understood all that. It was just written in a weird that was like, we're not just dictating what hours to put on the form, that it is, we're saying that's the max that could be there. And I just wanted to make sure that that was on public record. Yes. The clarification of stipend, we got the supervisor's signed verification that it was in fact a stipend and not by productivity. So with those clarifications, Dr. Medina, did you have any other concerns?
No concerns on my end.
Okay, great. The last one, I believe in this category, Dr. Brussel or Brussel. I don't believe she's here, so we'll have to guess on that one. Would you mind presenting this one, Dr. Medina?
Yeah. So this was Dr. Brussel is also the response to a FAIR, and there was a request for revised hours for the pre-internship hours that were submitted. So it seems that what was then submitted with the response to a FAIR was met criteria. And then there is a postdoctoral psychology professional experience. So they actually chose, I think they could have done one or the other. And so it looks like they actually just submitted postdoctoral hours in lieu of the supervised pre-internship hours. And so there were both. And so from the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and for 1,083 hours, and I did not have any concerns. It looked that it met criteria, that form as well.
I don't have any notes of any deficiencies that I saw. So let's try and do a motion for this section. So items B1 Galvin, B4 Arar, B5 Laporte, and B6 Brussel. We will recommend sending it to the board for approval of ECCC and licensure. Mm-hmm. Items B2 and B3 will have fair letters addressed to them to just clarify a few of the concerns as discussed in today's meeting. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
With no opposed, motion carries. Ms. Michelson, a question about the notification for today's meeting. Did we say on the public notice that we were ending at 10 and resuming at 12? Okay, so we are okay to continue. Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure we weren't going to get an open meeting law issue. Okay, next section is section C, requesting approval of supervised experience for licensure. Dr. Teneska graduated from APA accredited Alliant International University on January 9, 2024 with a doctoral degree in clinical psychology. Two references, a self-query and fingerprint card, were all attached or submitted. A passing ECCC score, congratulations, from April of 2025 was also received. I did not see any issues with the 2,000 internship hours from Southwest Behavioral Health Services. And then we had a postdoc verification from Trinity Tree Psychological Services of an additional 1,220 hours, which also appeared to meet standard. Unless I missed anything, Dr. Medina, any concerns?
No concerns.
I would like to then make a motion to move item C1, Teneska. I'm so sorry. I did not say that correctly, undoubtedly. Move that with approval for the board to vote on supervised experience and licensure. All in favor?
Second. I second
the motion. Second.
And I am in favor. Aye.
And I'm in favor as well. Motion carries. Next section is down to section E. We tabled E1, just for a reminder. And so we will go to E2 with his Dr. Brian Evans, who is requesting approval for licensure by waiver. Scrolling, please hold. Okay, Dr. Evans holds a doctoral degree in clinical psychology from Alliant University, noted by the applicant to be on 8-1-2007. However, the transcript gives him credit for time served June 29th, 2007, so a couple months earlier. He has been licensed in Oregon since 2009 with no actions. Declaration and attestation questions were completed. A passing score verification for the ECCC received. Two references, a self-query was complete, fingerprint cards on file. Internship verification of 2,000 hours at UC Davis Medical Center was also received with hours appearing to be in order. I didn't have any concerns about E2. Dr. Medina, do you?
Nope, no concerns.
Perfect. Would you do the next applicant the fair response for Dr. Chamberlain Scott?
So Dr. Chamberlain Scott, this was a response to a fourth fair letter. The committee was requesting verification of additional supervised professional experience hours and copy of signed and dated written training plan for the additional hours obtained. Both things were submitted and they look to be in order. I don't have any concerns with what was submitted.
We finally got to the end of the road. I agree. I just want to give extreme kudos to our staff for sticking with this one and the incredible amount of work that was put into trying to get to this moment. I am sorry that Dr. Chamberlain Scott is not here to also show her appreciation. It is very rare that we go to fourth fairs. And I would say this was our last chance. So I appreciate your guys' work on this. Let's keep it moving. E4, Dr. Dreller, I'm guessing. Dr. Dreller graduated with a doctoral degree in clinical psychology from APA-accredited George Washington University, noted by the applicant to be on 11421, transcript verified on 11821. Thank you, sir, for your military service. If you listen to this audio, Dr. Dreller holds licenses in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Washington, all with no actions. He also held a license in Wyoming, which had expired with no action. Declaration and attestation questions were completed. Passing SOAR on the ECCC was received. Fingerprint clearance card submitted. Two references and a self-query. We have internship hours from the Brook Army Medical Center, APA accredited, and also continuing postdoc Brook Army Medical Center for an additional 2,000 hours. So more than enough hours to consider. I didn't see any concerns on this application, Dr. Medina?
No concerns.
Okay. So I will motion acknowledging the tabling of E1, motion that E2 Evans, E3 Chamberlain Scott, E4 Dreller, be submitted to the board for approval for licensure with waiver. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried with no you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
With nobody saying no is what we're going to say today. Holy cow. We're going to get through this. All right. We are in section F, approval for licensure by credential. Would you take Dr. Orff, please?
Dr. Orr certainly is a BEP certified as a forensic psychologist, received his doctoral degree from the Arizona School of Professional Psychology at Argosy University in 2017, is licensed in Oregon and passed ECCC did report a past conviction, but charges were dropped in 2010. That was a long time ago, so I have no concerns there. And the self-query was submitted, so I have no issues with this application.
Did we need the ECCC score verification on this one, or is that one that was added in later, Kathy?
It was added in, but it is not needed for ABEP.
He is ABEP.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
He's ABEP. All of these are either ABEP or National Register or CPQ. So you need it to get any of those. So
perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. So with no concerns on that one, F2 is Dr. O'Sullivan, obtained their doctoral degree on January 31st, 2015 from George Washington University. She is a National Register holder since 12/20/18, good standing. Licensed in Kansas and Wyoming without actions, and is licensed in Virginia, also in good standing. Declarations and attestation statements were completed. ECCC passing score was received. Self-query was submitted, as well as her fingerprint clearance card. I did not see any concerns on Dr. O'Sullivan.
No concerns.
Would you take Dr. Brooks, please?
Sure. Dr. Brooks received his doctoral degree from Duke Kansas University in May 2003. He holds a National Register of Health Services certification, holds active licenses in Illinois and California, past licenses in Arkansas, Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Florida. Passed the ECCC in 2004, submitted a receiver fingerprint clearance card application, and the self-query was submitted. I don't have any concerns about that, this application.
Kathy, this was one of them that it was interesting on the self-query that two of the states of previous licensure were not showing up. I don't have any concerns because you verified those states, but I found it interesting that self-query was actually not complete.
That would be, Madam Chair, the I'm not going to say fault, but it's up to the individual to list those when they do the self-query. And so the fact that he didn't is not really germane. So.
Okay. I thought that that was something in this magical system. So thank you for that education, Dan. I'm learning a lot. Mm-hmm. All right, the last one in the section, Dr. Kirsten, EDD obtained their doctoral degree in counseling psychology from Northern Arizona University on August 11th, 1989. She's a register holder, national register holder since 2019 in good standing. ECCC passing score was obtained, licensed in New Hampshire, Arizona twice with two different time frames with no actions, licensed in Indiana and Rhode Island in good standing. Declarations and attestation statements were complete with an affirmative answer to probation in Arizona for a supervision issue, released from that probation after completion in the year 2000. So again, quite a while ago. She submitted evidence of ordering her fingerprint clearance card and her self-query was submitted. I don't have any concerns on this application, Dr. Medina.
No concerns on my end.
Okay, so I would like to move that we forward to the board with our assent the approval for licensure by credential of F1 Orff, F2 O'Sullivan, F3 Brooks, and F4 Kirsten.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. G is our section for approval for licensure by universal recognition. Dr. Kanya, we finally got to your section. Thank you for hanging in there with us. We're going to start with G1. However, Dr. Taylor graduated from Fielding Graduate University on August 1, 2020, national register holder in good standing, licensed in Utah with no actions. Declarations and attestation statements were completed. Self-query residency verified through lease, also a SIPACT holder in good standing. I didn't see anything that I had questions about. Dr. Medina is frozen.
Clearance card.
Fingerprint clearance card. You're right, is not submitted. Kathy, do you have that on record? Am I frozen?
Miss, no.
Muted. Okay.
Sorry, I was muted. Let me do a quick check on it. Here I am talking to you guys and you're...
And note that I just questioned my sanity, then I'm the one frozen.
And if it's not, Kathy, can we approve pending receipt from the... Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I am not seeing it in the folder, but I am... There's time before the board meeting to get that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that one pending verification.
Pending.
Perfect. All right. Finally, it's your time to shine. Dr. Medina, will you help Ms. Kanya through Dr. Kanya through her process?
Absolutely. So Dr. Kanya holds her doctoral degree from Northern Illinois University in clinical psychology, which she received in June 2021. She's licensed in Kansas and Missouri. And she provided a bank statement showing an Arizona address with her name. And there was also an electric bill, but it was not under her name that was submitted. She provided a fingerprint clearance card and the self-query. So no concerns with this application.
I did not see any either. So thank you for being here and sticking with us through this process.
And I want to make sure to clarify too, because I know Kathy had emailed me. So there was a question about the employment status. And so I know Kathy attached like my note that I emailed back to her yesterday. But but yeah, the system was not working with me being unemployed right now.
Thank you for that clarification and your quick response. We appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
The last in this section is Dr. Jane Hull, graduated with a degree of psychology from the University of North Dakota in 2006. For some reason, my notes, I believe it's 2006. I didn't type a couple of numbers there. She's licensed in Alaska and Minnesota, and Minnesota is also a license as an alcohol and drug abuse counselor in addition to the psychologist, and in North Dakota, all of those in good standing. A self-query and residency was verified through driver's license. We do have a receipt for the fingerprint clearance card that was submitted. I did not have any concerns about this application.
Concerns on my end either.
No. So for this section, I'd like to motion that the board or that we, the committee, submit to the board asking approval for licensure by universal recognition of G1 Taylor, G2 Kanya, and G3 Hull. Do I hear a second?
And G1 is Taylor is pending receipt of the fingerprint clear answer.
Thank you. With that clarification, do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. The final one, Dr. Medina, would you do Dr. Rockwell, please?
Absolutely. Dr. Rockwell is seeking to be part of the telehealth registry. She provided the certificate of liability insurance, statutory agent acceptance, letter of attestation, that she will update her registration with the number of patients served in Arizona on a yearly basis, provided attestation that she read the Arizona revised statutes and Arizona administrative code, and provided receipt of the fingerprint clearance card, and provided a self-query. So I had no issues with this application.
I agree with that. I would motion for approval to send to the full board, approval for telehealth registry of H1 Rockwell.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Yes.
Okay. We took off. We don't have any items listed for new agenda unless you'd like to add any.
I do not. I just want to make sure for the section 2, and I'm going to blame my old memory on this. So I seconded the motion. Did we vote on that? Did we?
On section 2, what do you mean?
On the EPPN licensure, section B.
Oh, did we not? Yes, we did vote because I made circles. I thought we voted.
Okay, we voted. Okay, I just, you know what?
Oh, I'm with you.
I just want to make sure we voted because I want to make sure they get on. I'm like, I absolutely remember seconding, like saying second. I don't remember saying I just want to make sure, even if I, you know.
Well, it's not like I haven't fallen all over my words today. So I apologize. Sticking
with I appreciate me. Your flexibility, Dr. Flint. And I do wish you well with surgery tomorrow. I'll keep you in my thoughts. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help. I'll be happy to bring some food over to you.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. I should be out by this time tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that being the fact in 24 hours.
In and out. Got it. Yes. I hope so as well. And I will share that, you know, folks that I know have had, you know, the procedure have had really good results and are very happy that they did it.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Yes.
Ladies, you guys are rock stars.
Did we adjourn the meeting?
We didn't. It's 10:27. I adjourned the meeting.
Second. Yes. Let's adjourn.
All right, y'all.